Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat, and joining me all the way from Saudi Arabia is Mulana Muhammad Venka. Assalamu alaikum, Mulana. How are you this morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International. Barakallahu feekum. Alhamdulillah. We are all keeping well with the grace of the Almighty Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, awaiting the beautiful days of Hajj, inshallah.
Okay, Mulana, I think you need to speak a little louder. We can't really, really hear you. It sounds very far.
Okay, can you hear me any better now?
I think so. I'm sure our engineers will work on it in a few minutes. Okay.
Inshallah.
I think that's better. Alhamdulillah. Mulana, where are you currently?
At the moment, we're based in Azizia. Azizia is a suburb which is approximately 5 kilometers away from Makkah. And normally on the 1st of Zulhijjah or around the 4th of Zulhijjah, majority, if not all the South African Hujjaj, they move into Azizia. Azizia is a suburb which is very close to Mina. It's basically at the doorstep of Mina. From where we are based, it's like they would say, a stone's throw away from, from where the Jamarat are. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah, so the South Africans, majority of them have already moved, to Azizia. I know this morning there were some South Africans that were based in Makkah, who moved into Azizia, alhamdulillah.
Okay, so people still obviously go into Makkah and come back from there all the time?
Yes, what tends to happen is that people still go from Azizia to Makkah, but, after the 4th of Zulhijjah, the roads leading into Makkah get extremely busy, and it becomes a little difficult to get into Makkah using the public transport system. But this year, for whatever reason or the other, the crowds are not too big. Normally, Azizia gets extremely busy, especially the days leading onto Hajj. But this year, we found that the crowds are not too big. So perhaps I think this year will be a very small Hajj, by gauging the crowds at the current moment.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So what's the latest news and happenings in Makkah prior to Hajj?
With regards to the latest happenings in Makkah prior to Hajj, we find, alhamdulillah, the local authorities, they try their level best to, ensure that there's a hassle-free and an incident-free Hajj. So this year, I saw some articles that they're trying to have more controls, especially Mina. I'm sure we recall last year where there was the tragedy and the catastrophe, where a few hundred people had passed on, and there was a stampede in Mina. So they're trying to, avoid that this year in terms of controlling the crowds. And I had also seen, a few messages regarding the pelting of the Jamarat. The road that lead onto the Jamarat, where they will allow certain people, certain nationalities to go at a certain time, and later on other people can go just to facilitate a swift and an easy movement, of the Hajjah during the days of Hajj. Because what tends to happen, Mina on the first day is normally fine. The day after you go into Arafah, Arafah is normally, hassle-free. But when you come into Muzdalifah, you spend the night in Muzdalifah, and then the next morning you leave into Mina. That's where you find that there are certain issues where the judge, they all want to rush into Mina, to the Jamarat, to get out of Ihram, and then they go to Makkah to do the Tawaf Ziyara. So I think this year what they are trying to do, they're trying to facilitate, this particular system and allowing, certain Hujjaj from certain nationalities to go and count the Jamarat first. And I think for all the foreign Hujjaj that have come from 10:30 in the morning on the 10th of Zulhijjah, you'll be able to count the Jamarat and thereafter go into Makkatul Mukarramah. The facilities, when we went for Ziyarah, to Muzdalifah, we have seen that the ablution facilities that they have now are much better, than those that you used to see in previous years. They have many more areas which are now paved, alhamdulillah, to make it more comfortable, for the Hajjaj, especially, during the nights in Muzdalifah. For those who have been on Hajj and those who have not been, just for your information, you find that in Mina and in Arafah, they have separate facilities, what they refer to as the special special services and the non-special services. Mm-hmm. So the facilities in the special services are a little better in terms of the accommodation, in terms of the food, in terms of the logistics, air conditioning units that they have in Arafah, alhamdulillah. The special services in Mina are very, very close to the Jamara. You know, a few hundred meters away from the Jamara, and the non-special service is approximately 2.5 to 3 kilometers away, you know, from the Jamara. In Makkah al-Mukarrama, alhamdulillah, the extension of the Haram, it was opened a few months ago, to accommodate the crowds. So that is why you don't see as many people as you used to see in the streets of Makkah reading Salah in the streets of Makkah, because the new extension of the Haram Sharif, has accommodated, the Hujjaj who have come on this journey.
Mm-hmm. So it must be a beautiful sight to see too, alhamdulillah, with everything new out there.
Yes, absolutely, alhamdulillah. You see Hujjaj coming from various different countries, different nationalities, many elderly people, some of them, you speak to some of them, they've been planning for 30 years, 40 years, and, the life savings, they put it together to embark on this, once-in-a-lifetime, journey of Hajj, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Mulana, are there any concerns perhaps the Hujjaj are experiencing, prior to Hajj?
Yes, so with regards to the concerns, there are many, many Hujjaj who have come this year, who are first-timers. First-timers, in a sense, many of them who have not even been on Umrah.
Mm.
So, the journey of Hajj, I made mention on one of the other radio stations yesterday as well, generally when Hujjaj, before embarking on this journey, every person gives them their own opinion. And we tend to speak about the negatives of the journey of Hajj, unfortunately. That, you will go to Muzdalifah and this is what you would experience, and then you will go to the Jamara. Somebody who came perhaps 20 years ago, when you go by the Jamara, you find the stampedes, etc. So there's nothing of that sort. So the only challenge and the difficulties that we found in the last perhaps 2 or 3 years, we're going into the summer months.
Mm.
So it does get extremely hot, especially in Arafah, where the temperatures can soar into, the early 50s, in the high 40s. So Arafah gets extremely hot. But apart from that, there are no real challenges. Once the Hujjaj move into Aziziyah, virtually, alhamdulillah, all the South African groups, they have scholars and ulama and competent individuals who accompany the groups. So the days leading on to Hajj, there are many programs that are held. One is from a Shari'i point of view, from a logistic point of view. There are guidelines that are given to the Hujjaj, those who will be walking, the journey, from Mina to Arafat and back down to Mina. And majority of the Hujjaj, due to the high climate, many of them opt to take the buses, to go to the Mashayikh. So alhamdulillah, South Africans generally, many of them, who came on this journey, have been for Hajj classes, have been to Hajj seminars. But I personally, I've been advocating this. If you intend going on Hajj, the moment you make the intention, you need to brace yourself and prepare yourself, for this journey. One is the physical preparations that every person, goes through. But more important than that is the spiritual dimension of Hajj, that this is not a holiday, but this is rather a spiritual journey. For many, perhaps it will be the one and only time that you will come on this journey. Proportionate to that amount of times when Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he built the Kaaba with his son Ismail, and the Abdullah tabaraka wa ta'ala told Ibrahim alayhi salam, to make the announcement. Ibrahim alayhi salam stood on a mountain, for those of us that are familiar, where the king's palace is built, called Jabal Abi Qubays. That was the first mountain that was placed on this earth. And Ibrahim alayhi salam stood on this mountain and he made the announcement that فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ that, oh Allah, let the hearts of mankind incline towards the Kaaba. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, this is a barren land. There's absolutely no one. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells Ibrahim alayhi salam that you make the announcement and I will convey the message. Every person who was living at that time, every person who was in the womb of their mothers, and every person to be born right up to the day of Qiyamah, heard the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and proportionate to that amount of times that a person said labbaik to the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam, equivalent and proportionate to that amount of times will a person be granted the opportunity of circumambulating the Baytullah and coming on this, beautiful, journey of Hajj. And really, Hajj is a, it's a unique experience, depending on what intention you come for. Like they say in English also, you know, whatever you do in life, if you approach it positively, Allah Ta'ala makes it easy for you. Like they say in English, a positive thinker finds an opportunity in every difficulty, and a negative thinker finds a difficulty in every opportunity. So likewise, you find hujjaj when they come with a positive mind, with a positive outlook, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala makes the journey, you know, easy. But most definitely, you know, this is the journey of sacrifice. It's the journey of Hajj, you know, where this entire journey revolves around the lives of Ibrahim and Ismail, alayhi salatu wa salam. So there will be certain challenges, certain difficulties that the hujjaj will go through. But, you know, the those who are in charge, the travel agents and those who are guiding the hujjaj, you know, they try their level best to try and accommodate and, you know, facilitate, you know, the journey, you know, from beginning till the end, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And it is so true what you said, Mulana. It's so true with your attitude plays a very important role, and it can either make your journey wonderful or it can make it, you know, not so good. So it depends on
absolutely.
You entirely.
Absolutely. You know, when a person comes on this journey of Hajj, it's the mindset that a person comes with. So this is what, you know, we try and do as ulama, to try and guide the hujjaj and to try and change the mindset. You know, that what have we come for? What is the object of Hajj? You know, I've not just come to fulfill that fundamental obligation that was resting upon my shoulders, but I've come here to become a better human being. I've come here to become a better person. And we find, alhamdulillah, over the years, Allah has favored us, you know, with the opportunity of guiding the hujjaj. And there are many, many individuals who come, you know, with the correct intention, and Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala grants them, you know, the tawfiq and the ability that there's a total, you know, transformation, you know, in their lives, alhamdulillah, you know, during the journey of Hajj. But on the other hand, you know, you find some hujjaj, you know, come with the intention primarily of just fulfilling the, you know, just the fundamental obligation, so you will fulfill your faraj. But when you go back, there's no real change that comes. So we try and, you know, motivate the hujjaj, you know, before the days of Hajj. And we have intense Hajj lessons and classes, you know, for all the hujjaj, you know, just to brace themselves, you know, before the days of Hajj.
Alhamdulillah. Mulana, just about, I know the weather is, it's very hot out there right now, but what's the health of the people generally there? How are people health-wise?
Generally, you know, there isn't, I have not heard of any casualties this year. Mm-hmm. You know, over the years, there have been hujjaj that, you know, that have passed away. You know, South African hujjaj that have passed away in Medina Sharif and in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Alhamdulillah, the South African Hajj and Umrah Council, you know, they have their bases both in Medina, now they're based in Aziziyah. You know, they render the service to, you know, to the hujjaj, you know, while staying in the blessed lands, alhamdulillah.
And the health services, alhamdulillah, I think it's
very good. You know, apart from the South African Hajj and Umrah Council, there are hospitals, you know, that cater for the hujjaj. When you go into Mina, you go into Arafah, you go into Muzdalifah, you know, there are hospitals, you know, in these particular areas. So should anybody take ill, you know, they will admit you into the hospital and they will treat you there.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, now I know there's always a lot of ziyarat going on when one is in Makkah and Medina and everywhere, but tell us about some of the places of interest that Mawlana and the hujjaj have visited during this time.
Yes, when we look at, you know, perhaps we will need a few hours to discuss.
Okay, Mawlana,
you know,
I think we can talk more about Makkah. I think we've covered a lot last year about Medina. So
yes, about Medina Munawwara, yes.
So maybe
okay, with regards to Makkah Tul Mukarramah, you know, over the years, you know, a lot of the historical heritage has been removed for whatever reason or the other. So generally when the hujjaj go for ziyara in Mecca, you know, they normally go to Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, just to acquaint themselves that, you know, what do these places look like? You know, because we heard about the tent city, we heard about Mina, you know, we heard about Muzdalifah, you know, where you sleep and, you know, there's no, you have no accommodation wherever you find a place you sleep, and of course, in the plains of Arafah, you know, which is a very unique experience. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, we normally show the hujjaj, you know, historical mountains in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Makkah al-Mukarramah, you know, in fact, scientists today, I saw an article this morning, mm-hmm. you know, they have discovered that this is the focal point on the earth. Directly above the Ka'batul Musharrafah is the Qibla of the Malaika, which is known as the Baytul Ma'mur. So the Kaaba is at the center of the earth. At the center of the earth. So Makkah, the Kaaba is surrounded by various mountains. You know, so these are mountains that, you know, which are very rich in history, like the one I made mention of earlier on, Jabla Abi Qubais. That was the first mountain when Allah Ta'ala created the earth. جعلت تميل. The earth started shaking and moving around. Allah Ta'ala then placed mountains onto the earth to give it stability. And it is for that reason that the ulama have mentioned there are so many mountains in and around Makkah al-Mukarramah. So one is Jabal Abi Qubays. When the Hajar al-Aswad came from Jannah, it settled upon on that particular mountain. And then when you go approximately 3.74 kilometers away from the Kaaba, there's another very historical mountain called Jabal Thawr. That is where the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the journey of Hijrah, the famous journey when he had migrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Medina al-Munawwara with divine inspiration, the Nabi of Allah climbed up this mountain and he had taken refuge in the cave Ghar al-Thawr with his companion Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, for 3 days and three nights. Very historical mountain, you know, in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And thereafter you find Jabal Nur, where the mission of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is commonly referred to as the cave of Hira, where the Nabi of Allah used to spend a lot of time in seclusion. This was prior to receiving Nubuwa. And at the age of 40, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala endowed the Nabi of Allah with prophethood and Nubuwa. And we all know the incident where Jibreel alayhi salam had come to the Nabi of Allah, you know, and he had embraced him and he told him that Iqra. Nabi alayhi salam said, Ma ana biqari'in, I cannot read. And this happened a few occasions till eventually the first 5 verses, you know, were revealed upon the Nabi of Allah, Surah Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. The first 5 verses of the surah were revealed to the Nabi of Allah. So apart from that, you'll find there are many historical masajid in Makkah al-Mukarramah, you know, the masjid where the Nabi of Allah, Masjid al-Jinn, very historical masjid. You know, this is that place where the Nabi of Allah invited the jinnat towards Islam. He recited the Quran and many jinnat embraced Islam, you know, at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Close to Masjid al-Jinn, there is another masjid which is a very historical masjid and many people do not know this. It's called Masjid al-Shajara. You know, the place where the Nabi of Allah, a great miracle that had taken place in the time of Nabi alayhi salam, when Nabi alayhi salam was returning from one battle and one villager accompanied the Nabi of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam told him, why don't you accept Islam? He said that you need to show me some proof. Nabi alayhi salam says that this tree will testify that I am the Nabi of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam pointed towards the tree and the tree came cutting through the earth before the Nabi of Allah. And the tree testified that I testify that you are the final messenger of Allah. That villager brought Iman there and there. So where these historical incidents have taken place, alhamdulillah, you know, you find masajid have been built on those places. And these two masjids that we spoke about are not too far away from Jannatul Mu'alla. Jannatul Mu'alla is the qabristan of Makkatul Mukarramah. You know, it's a very old graveyard in Jannatul Mu'alla. The beloved wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khadijatul Kubra, radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the honorable consort of Nabi alayhi salam, you know, she is resting in this particular graveyard. The grave of Khadija radiyallahu anha is the only grave that we know the precise location. There are thousands of graves in Jannatul Mu'alla with regards to the location of many other sahaba, you know, many awliya that are buried in Jannatul Mu'alla. The location of the grave is not known to us. So what happens in Makkatul Mukarramah, unlike Medina? In Medina, whoever passes away in Medina, in the outskirts of Medina, you know, the janazah takes place in the haram and they are buried in Jannatul Baqi. In Makkatul Mukarramah, you know, if any person passes away in and around Makkah, including the Hujjaj, Jannatul Mu'alla is very rarely used. So what they have done today, they've opened a few graveyards, you know, which is approximately 15 kilometers away from the Haram Sharif in a place called Sharaya. Last year after the tragedy in Mina, after the crane incident, you know, there was a new qabristan called Maqbaratu Shuhada, which was opened very close to Arafah. You know, all those who had become shaheed last year after the stampede in Mina, they all are buried, you know, in that particular qabristan. So recently what they have been doing, any person who passes away is buried, you know, in that particular graveyard. So apart from that, there's a lot more history. In fact, you know, there are many, many books that have been written on this particular topic. In the Haram Sharif, I recall, you know, before the extension of the Haram, we used to take the Hajjaj on a guided tour of the Haram Sharif. But most of the history in the Haram Sharif is now removed. Another very historical place, and when we go back in history in the time of Jahiliyyah, You know, like the Quran speaks in the 14 juz of the Quran Kareem in Surah An-Nahl, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْتَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ, where fathers used to bury their daughters alive. Up to this day, the piece of land is still standing. There's nothing that has been built on it. You know, a very sad episode in the annals of Islamic history. This was prior to the Nabi of Allah receiving Nubuwwah, you know, where fathers used to bury their daughters alive. So this is not far away from the Haram Sharif. So apart from that, you know, you find that there are many museums in, you know, in Makkah al-Mukarrama, the place where they make the ghilaf, the covering of the Kaaba, you know, every year during the day of Hajj. Whilst the Hujjaj are in Arafah, they normally change the ghilaf of the Kaaba. So like that, there are many, many historical places, you know, in around Makkah al-Mukarrama. Like I said, it requires, you know, much discussion. You know, there's a lot of history in Makkah, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the birthplace of Nabi alayhi salam, where the houses of the various Sahaba used to be, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, all these places, the locations of the houses, you know, are known to us. The Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to live, and where he was dragged on the streets of Makkah al-Mukarrama, the houses of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the famous place, Darul Arqam, the Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda. We all know the incident when his sister and brother-in-law were reading Quran and he wanted to kill them, and that is where he came. Nabi alayhi salam made dua, and that is where he had come and he accepted Islam at the hands of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that area where Safa Marwa is, you know, that is the place we just close to Mount Safa, where Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted Islam. Mm-hmm. And after accepting Islam, he stood on a mountain called Jabal Umar. But we find that this mountain now, most of the mountain has been broken down, and they've put up, you know, a huge hotel, you know, on that particular, you know, piece of ground. So Jabal Umar was that mountain where Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, he stood and he proclaimed his Islam. You'll find that in around the Haram Sharif, you know, there's a lot of history where the houses, of course, the houses do not exist any longer, you know, but where the where the precise places, where the location where the houses used to be. I think I made mention whilst we're in Medina Munawwara, that in Medina Munawwara, to the best of my knowledge, and we have taken the Hujjaj there as well, is that there is a masjid that is standing up to this day from the time of the Sahaba. Up to this day from the time of the Sahaba. And secondly, there are two houses of Sahaba close to the Miqat. Abdullah bin Zubair and Urwa bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, the houses are standing up to this day. So recently what I found that the authorities, these historical places, you know, they are preserving them. There was a lot of, you know, objection and criticism to the local authorities for destroying the Islamic heritage in Makkah al-Mukarramah, in Medina al-Munawwara. You know, so I noticed recently that these places, whatever is left of it, you know, they are preserving it. But when you go out of Makkah al-Mukarramah, you know, when you go to, you know, approximately 100 kilometers from Makkah, you go closer to where the Battle of Badr had taken place, very historical places in Islam, and then you go to Abwa. Abwa is that place which is, you know, an unknown destination. Many people don't even know this. That is where the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bibi Amina, and the mother of Sayyidina Osman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu are resting, you know, on that, you know, in that particular area which is called Abwa. We're speaking about 1,400 and, you know, 37 years down the line. When you go there today, it is still desolate. There's absolutely nothing. There are few families that are living there. But that is where, you know, the beloved mother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting. So really, you know, there's a lot of Islamic history, Islamic heritage in and around Makkah al-Mukarrama.
Alhamdulillah, Mawlana, you really make us all feel that we wish we were there today, or, you know, really being there to just see all things. It's such an educational tour as well. Going for Hajj is not only about the Hajj, it's also about the Islamic history.
Yes, absolutely. You know, when you travel to any destination of the world, you know, they normally take you on a guided tour to visit the historical sites. And I think that adds flavor to your visit. Mm. When you travel to any country, Western countries of the world, you know, you go to Turkey also, you know, they show you the heritage that is there. Any country of the world. So alhamdulillah, I think when you travel to Makkah and come to Medina, you know, we advise the Hujjaj to study the history of Makkah al-Mukarrama. Not what we see today, you know, the skyscrapers and the five-star hotels, but go back in time. You know, 4,500 years ago when Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know, and he had pulled the Kaaba at that time, you know, what it must have been. You know, the Quran says, بِغَيْرِ ذِي شَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. This was a barren land, no vegetation, no water, absolutely nothing. So, you know, so the Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 53 years of his life was spent in Makkah al-Mukarramah. So much had taken place during that time. And there are many, many books that have been written, you know, on the topic. So we normally advise the Hujjaj, you know, to study the history of Makkah. We try to the best of our ability, you know, to acquaint them, you know, with the Haram Sharif and the areas around the Haram. You know, books in English that have been written, perhaps many listeners may be wondering, you know, what can we read? You know, in the Arabic language, there are many books that have been written, but unfortunately, I always say this, that many, many of us have not studied the Arabic language. You know, hence we have barred ourselves from volumes of Islamic knowledge. So if you make a concerted effort, you know, to study our history, this will add flavor to your, you know, to your belief system. This will create a better connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. You know, so books in English that have been written is the history of Makkah, the pictorial history of Medina, you know, where there's a lot of information that is contained, you know, within this book, which will give us a beautiful understanding of the history of Makkah al-Mukarramah and the history of Medina al-Munawwara.
Alhamdulillah. Well, and I know we don't have much time. Maybe on Wednesday when we call you again, we'll talk more about that. But for now, just very quickly, did you or any of the Hujjaj perhaps meet any, you know, unusual people or any unusual event that may have taken place or, you know, just encountered anything? If you know of anything, would you like to share that with us? If you know of anything.
Yes, alhamdulillah. You know, once you're in Makkah al-Mukarramah, like I mentioned, the Hujjaj coming from virtually different countries of the world, and some of them, you know, they give up everything. They sell whatever they had, you know, to come on this journey of Hajj. So you meet many, many, many people. You know, some of them are in the 70s, some of them are in the 80s, you know, who come on this journey of Hajj. And, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, we had the good fortune of meeting, you know, some very great scholars and ulama, you know, who live in this part, you know, who are residents of Makkah al-Mukarramah, who are not born here, you know, but they are residents of Makkah al-Mukarramah, you know, and they've dedicated themselves, you know, to the service of Quran al-Kareem, and many of them are teaching ahadith, you know, in various different madaris and, you know, madrasas in and around Makkah al-Mukarramah and Medina al-Munawwara.
Okay, so... and do you find that, or is it not possible, really so possible? I remember when we went there many years ago, it wasn't so possible for us to mix with the, you know, the local people there. Is it possible now, do you think, you know, meet with local people around there?
Yes, generally when the Hujjaj come, you know, the focus is around the Haram Sharif. So the Hujjaj generally don't go into the outskirts, you know, Makkah and Medina. You know, and Medina is not like what it used to be. If you came many years ago, the gullies of Medina, you don't find that today. Mm-hmm. If you'll have to perhaps travel 5 or 6 kilometers away from the Haram Sharif, then you'll find the gullies. Makkah al-Mukarramah as well. The only new buildings that have come up. So the interaction with the locals, you know, is bare minimum. And especially those who come on Hajj, you know, from the hotel, the focus is the Haram Sharif and, you know, not much more than that. So, you know, there isn't much interaction, but alhamdulillah, you know, for those of us who have come here over the years, we, you know, there are many people, many acquaintances, we know a lot of people here, alhamdulillah, you know, we meet a lot of the locals, and many of them, many of the people, you know, are the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the family of the Sahaba, you know, so indeed, you know, being in this land of Makkah al-Mukarramah, Medina al-Munawwara, it's a singular bounty from the side of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. You know, it is not, I always make mention, it is not your wealth, it is not who you are, but it is the sole invitation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you know, and the invitation to Medina al-Munawwara by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we come. And it is nothing else, you know, but that. So, you know, to come here, you know, we cannot thank Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you know, for bringing us, you know, on this journey, you know, of Hajj. You know, it's a unique experience, and if you speak to somebody who has been on this journey many a time, you know, everyone will share with you different experiences, but every Hajj is a unique experience, you know, on its own, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair, Mulana, for talking to us. We certainly do appreciate it. And we wish you all the best, all of all the Hujjaj out there. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for each and every one of you, inshallah. And please remember us in your du'as. May Allah Ta'ala accept your Hajj and all the khidmat that you are making out there, inshallah.
JazakAllah khairan for the opportunity. Inshallah, we will keep the listeners updated, inshallah, the days leading on to Hajj and during the days of Hajj, inshallah. And, you know, we will remember you in our du'as. And inshallah, we request you to remember all the Hujjaj, not only the Saratikans, for all the Hujjaj in your esteemed du'as. Inshallah, till we speak to you again on Wednesday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And please take care. Well, listeners, that's all for me for today. But just remember, the lines will be open around about 10 past 11 for your answers. I hope you still remember that clue, inshallah. That's it then from us. Until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.